Temptation and judgment. I chose this subject because, for a very special reason, is we're coming into a time when God's elect are going to be tempted. And Satan himself has set up some of the nicest little traps and some of the greatest little opportunities. And many people in their Christianity, anytime they have to suffer, they think maybe they're being persecuted. But when it's for God's sake, you want to count it as joy. Okay? You want to count it as pure joy because you are serving the living God. You have all noticed in these very last months and years that it becomes more enjoyable for certain media and so forth to make light of Christians or of Christianity. And certainly when that happens, then it would seem that the world likes to go along with that. And yet within that world, there are eyes and there are ears that are confused and are searching. So you yourself should not be confused. You know, we have an old saying in the Marine Corps, don't let them see you sweat, boy, on your first cruise. Get out there and go for it. Get it, you know. And that's the way you handle it, all right. But so it is. When there are many believers that are not the strongest that you might wish for, so therefore, who sets the example? You have to. God's elect must set that example. Therefore, when you're tried, always come through. Why? We've got the victory. There's no giants in the world anymore. God got rid of them. You and God make a giant, all right, when it comes to being the ability to overcome, to win, to be successful, even to be prosperous if you do it His way. So think about it. Think about it and be ready to follow Him as He sets the example. A lot of people will say, well, I want to walk in Christ's footsteps. You know, I want to be like Jesus. His footsteps were painful at times, you know. Let's face it, ultimately He was crucified. Those footsteps are pretty hard to follow. But if we have to, we can cut it, all right? No problem. The main thing is, we have many promises in the Word whereby God assists us. So, when a little upset or suffering comes from temptation, don't sweat it. It's not judgment from God, because God will not do you that way. It is oftentimes inadequacy within ourselves to have a clear and a true understanding of Almighty God. Because He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's going to always be with you. Now, you have a choice. You can leave Him, but He is never going to leave you. So remember that. Open your Bibles, if you would. We're going to go to the great book of James, chapter 1, where it is written to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. And naturally, when that is done, you know there is an election, and there are lines within for that people. James chapter 1, and it reads, subject being temptation and judgment. Jesus, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, James rather, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, getting that right down. He should have been, he was Jesus' half-brother, okay? And to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Now who is it written to? It's written to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. That's rightly dividing the word, that you know who it's written to. All right? Now, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now, did that say run scared? Did that say be worried about it? No, count it joy when you suffer divers, different temptations of the world, just suffer it and stay in Christ's service, okay? It's that simple. It would be nice if we had perfect people. We don't. None of us are perfect. And we all are going to have those trials and temptations. But I want you to come smiling right on through, okay? You can cut it. You can do it. Verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It will mature you. And patience is something that's really hard to come by, okay? I know it is for me, and I'm sure it is for a lot of other people, you know. Patience is, I mean, if I want something, I want to get it done right now. And God has a time and a schedule, and we're not going by our own time and schedule as far as He's concerned. He's a lot smarter than we are. He has a lot more knowledge than we do. He knows all the other brothers and sisters and how they must be handled or moved to be in a position whereby they will have a perfect chance, possibly, of salvation. And sometimes we can't see through all that maze, you know, that like He can. You know, you wonder, well, why did my sister do that, or why did my brother do that? And it leaves you, it loses you. Well, God knows, okay? But the main thing is, when you believe, and when you do it His way, the suffering you have to do because of His name, you count it joy. Because it means you're special. It means you're special in the sense that you're doing His service. And that's important, all right? And when God chooses you for that, that's special also. It doesn't necessarily make you any better than anyone else, but He gifts you whereby you can get it done, all right? But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The word perfect, perhaps it would be better if you were to translate it mature. You become a more mature Christian. You become a more mature person if you practice patience and stand back sometimes and see what God is telling you and what is going down. Understand it, analyze it, and I assure you, most often, if you be one of those 12 scattered abroad, then there's something happening that is important. There's something happening, and that isn't to say it isn't important with anyone. But let's keep the word divided in the letter to who this letter is written to, so we better understand. Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, what are you going to do about it? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. I mean, he's generous with wisdom. And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. That's the way you find wisdom. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith. I don't know, how do you ask? Well, I don't know if he's going to answer me or not. Well, don't waste your time or try to waste his. It's not going to happen. If you don't ask in faith, you're kidding yourself, okay? It just is not going to happen. If there's any one thing that God will drop you like a hot rock for a little bit, is if you ask something in lack of faith. You're playing games with Him. You're trying to con Him. And when all wisdom flows from Him, do you think He's going to put up with that? He's going to snuff at it. He's not going to appreciate it. So remember that. When you ask Him, at least have the faith to know He loves you, and He wants to lead you. And when you return that love, then He answers and rises to that occasion to answer that prayer. Otherwise, you're wasting your time, okay? But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. I mean, no doubt whatsoever. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. What is a wave that's tossed in the wind? Look another second. It's gone. It didn't amount to a hill of beans. White cap and all, right in the bottom. It's gone. Okay. Well, your prayers, when they waver or when they have doubt, that's what it amounts to. Nothing. Okay. A lot of people, I'm sure, they think, I'm living a good Christian life. I just pray all the time. Well, if you're not meeting the requirements that go with that, I'm sorry, friend. You've got a mixed up life. Nothing wavering. Nothing means absolutely nothing. Knowing He is your Father, He's your nearest of kin, that He loves you, He's not playing games. If He makes a promise, if He said it, that's the way it is. He'll keep His word. You keep yours. Verse 7. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. If he's doubting and wavering, he can forget it. Don't ever, and just be, if someone's in that position, just tell them, your prayers are not going to be answered. I'm not judging you. But if you don't trust the Father, why would you even waste your time asking Him for something? All right? 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man is a man that thinks in the world and with the Father, and he's not sure of either or which. That makes him very unstable. You're not going to be able to count on them. And I'll tell you quite frankly, somebody that you can't count on their word, you want to mark that person. Don't treat them as an enemy. But if they don't keep their word, you see, your word is your name. And if you tell somebody you're going to do something as best you can, it happens to all of us at a time or two. Emergencies come up, something else comes up that you cannot keep your word. Always explain why. But if it is a continual, habitual thing, habitual meaning it's a habit of happening, then you mark that person and feel sorry for them, pray for them. But no, you can't count on them. That's why God says, I can't count on them either. All right? So you learn a lesson from it also. Verse 9, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. God, always when you pray for wisdom and he answers in faith and he answers that prayer, he wants you to feel good about it. 10, but the rich, this is to say rich in ill-gotten gains, but the rich in that he is made low because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. 11, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat that it withereth the grass and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. That's to say those that knock people around gain ill-gotten gains to take advantage of people. They're not going anywhere with it. God detests people like that. But at the same time, if you are rich because of serving God, don't you ever apologize for that. That's His promise, okay? You're rich in more ways than one. The greatest riches you have is knowing the Lord and knowing that He can count on you and you can count on Him, okay? That's the best riches. But ill-gotten gains is the biggest waste of time there ever was. 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. This means that you don't fade away when you're tempted a little bit. You're not a hothouse lily that wilts if a little hot wind hits it. Okay. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. This has to do all the way to the end when you're tried even and delivered up before the false Messiah. That's what gets you your crown of life. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means you're one of God's elect, and the promises of Ezekiel 44 beginning with 25 are your lot. And that's great. Well, do I have lots of property? None whatsoever. You don't get any land. You're not in that allotment. But God is your inheritance, and you can't get any better than that. Okay? Which means what? Wherever you step is yours. Because you're... And this we're talking now about the millennium and the eternity. Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. Ezekiel 44 being from that millennium. And that crown of life is so very important. Do you know what life that means? Do you think it means until you die? Uh-uh. It means eternal life. Life eternal. You know, we've got a long way to go. And most of it is so very good. All right. Many might say this is tough today. Well, it isn't if you'll really snuggle up to your Father. If you let Him know you love Him, then He will hold you close. And He will see that you're comforted. He will see that you have the blessings of some of that eternal life right now, right today. Okay. Verse 13. Let no man say, listen to this very good, or real deep. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. God is making me suffer. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. It doesn't happen. God tempts no one. So don't you ever say, I've suffered for God. You may be suffering because you stand up for God, but is it really suffering, friend? Do you count it suffering when you're standing up for the name of Christ? You should count it joy, because it's not suffering. It is part of your crownship. In the eternal life, it makes you different because He can trust you. He knows you can cut it. He knows you can handle it. Why do you think He chose Jeremiah, as it's written in chapter 1 of Jeremiah? He said, Jeremiah, I knew you before you ever were in your mother's womb. I chose you then. Why do you think He chose him? Because he was a hoss. You know, that's an analogy, and that means he could cut it, all right? He could get it done. And he said, not only that, but while you were in the womb, I declared you my prophet. Okay, why? Well, he knew the soul of Jeremiah. From there, he knew he could count on him. He knew Jeremiah wasn't going to wilt. He knew Jeremiah wasn't going to quit. God doesn't like quitters, okay? You're going to get buffeted. You're going to get hammered. But consider it joy. God, why? Well, he just told you, I don't do that. So if it isn't God sometimes that sends evil, who is it? I hope I wouldn't even have to. I know I don't have to tell you. It's the evil one himself, of course. Hey, he's going to find every weakness you've got. And if he can, how well he has it if he thinks he can turn you against God because you think God is evilly punishing you. I mean, Satan's really driving nails right there, okay, in your coffin, okay? And he likes to do that. And you cannot let him get away with it. Joy causes a big smile and even sometimes a laugh, and let it be in Satan's face. Okay? Because God is not going to hurt you. God is not going to send evil. It comes from another way. So don't let it bother you. Okay? And it is true. When some people are tempted and get a little trouble, they think they're just being judged of God. And let that be proof that God does not send temptation on someone with evil. He just doesn't operate that way. It's clear out of the ballpark, so you need to go back and pray for wisdom to find out who's doing it. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. We unfortunately have flesh bodies, and most of us like good cars. I don't want to say fast horses, but I don't know, that was an old saying from a long time ago, okay? But anyway, you know, your flesh body will get wrapped up in the ways of the world. That's what I'm telling you, you know? And there's not a one of us, when we get a new car, like, let's leave that sticker on there in just a day or two and circle the block, huh? Hey, I'm looking good. Look, look at my sticker. It's a new one, yeah. That just kind of comes with the property, okay? And is there something wrong with that? Well, just a couple of times around, okay? Don't, you know, and then take it off. But anyway, be thankful that God has chosen you, and don't let your flesh get you in trouble. Do you know that 85% of our trouble can be almost handled by flesh in one way and the other? Why? Well, you are really a good person, but you can be conned if you're not careful. And God sometimes will allow some of the best to come along and give you a good con, but it should sharpen you up and say, thank you, Jesus. It was a good experience. And you'll be stronger for it. So don't let your emotions or anything else get in the way of the Lord. It can happen, friend. Be careful. Be very careful. Okay, verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Without repentance or correction, you're in trouble, friend, but never let it get you down. Never, never let it get you down. Be of good courage, and know that God is going to see you through. 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. 17, every good gift, where do gifts come from? God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Like a sundial, he's the same always. He loves all of his children. He knows what his children are capable of, and he gives them gifts. He gives them gifts. Let me rephrase. He gives them gifts as they are able to handle them. All right? And a gift from God should never fall under the flesh taking advantage or claim for it. Okay? Because why? It's from God. It's from above. It is your Father that gifts you. And maybe it's teaching, maybe it's seed planting, maybe it's a gift in some profession or something. It's still a gift from God. And don't ever forget to thank Him for it. Verse 18. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. You got it. He's your Father. With the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. A new creation, so to speak, of brotherhood, of sisterhood, that cares about people, that knows that our Father doesn't send evil on anyone. People allow it to happen in their lives, okay? And unfortunately, it grows worse, and I'm going to use a new English word, worser, okay? It gets worser and worser. Okay, 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. When he hears what? God's word. When you hear from God, you want to be very careful how you handle it until you're sure you understand what He's telling you. Okay? Don't run off half-cocked. Let it settle in. Wisdom comes from God. 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Man's angeriness is not going to get him anywhere that isn't the way God works, and you have to keep up to speed and be aware of that. 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, that's the bad boys, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. It will do it every time. The word of God will change your life. It will give you stability. 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You've got to be a doer of the word. A person that is a doer is useful to our Father. Okay? There is, unfortunately, a teaching that says you don't have to be a doer. All you have to do is believe. That's a false teaching. That will get you in the door, but you don't want to go in that way. You want to go in dressed in the finest of linen, and that means righteous acts into the eternity, whereby you are loved there. We had it, some of us have it pretty tough, and many of us that came up through the Depression knows what tough is too, you know, but we made it. And I don't know, I'll just be real honest with you, I don't know but what children didn't have a lot better opportunity in the Depression than they do today. Now, we didn't have too much stuff to get in trouble with, okay? Why is it that when things get tough, it draws the family closer together instead of splitting them apart? You know, and tough times do that. It pulls people together. They reach out for God more often then. So, temptation. I want you to remember two things from that. Rightly dividing the word. I want you to remember, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. That's just not his business. He doesn't operate that way. And don't you, hey, listen, you want to get in trouble with him, accuse him of it. And you'll remember back to the Old Testament where he said, who said what or what God's burden will be for us today? God doesn't send burdens. Man builds them up for himself. Just heaps them up on himself. And God will help you out of that, but don't ever try to blame God for it. I'm telling you what, you're cruising for a bruising if you do. So, temptation, and that you do, sometimes, let's say that maybe you get entrapped and you give in to a little bit of temptation. Your correction is love, it's not judgment. Okay? It's love from Almighty God. He wants you straightened out. But any suffering you do for the temptation that Satan brings before you from people's mouths and what have you, then don't consider that suffering but joy. Because that's serving God, and God will take care of it. Now, I want to go to this word, parazo, is a word meaning tempting or to be tempted, and there's a whole family of words that are utilized for this. It means to attempt, in some cases, to attempt what? Anything, okay? To strive, in certain cases, to make an effort, to be put to a test. That's what temptation can be also, to be put to a test and to lead into temptation. That's what the word means, parazo, and many forms of it as you study God's word. Satan's going to make an attempt on you every time he thinks he's got a clean shot, okay? He's very intelligent. Do you know, he knows the weaknesses of your flesh. He does. And unfortunately, that's where a lot of people can leave the door open, and that can get you in trouble. So don't let it. But don't quit. God doesn't like quitters. Get tough with yourself at that time, and love the Lord, and know that He loves you. I want to take you to a time or two where you're going to have trials and temptations in these end times. Go with me to Mark chapter 13. This may surprise you, but it fits that category of you being... There are many temptations mentioned in Mark 13 that will happen to God's very elect, documenting that they are going to be tried. Let's pick it up with verse 19. You're all familiar with this. We could quote it without even opening the Bibles to it, but I want to choose the word carefully. Mark 13, you know this is when... These are the equivalent of the seven seals, the seven trumps and the seven vials, only Christ is explaining them one by one in actuality. And it begins to speak to you after the warnings are given, the thought being in verse 5, take heed lest any man deceive you, tempt you, mislead you, lead you astray. Don't allow it to happen. Now pick it up in verse 19. I want to go to the trial, so to speak, and the misleading if it becomes an actuality. Verse 19 reads, for in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. Meaning, when the false Messiah is on this earth, supernatural entities are going to be allowed to come to earth, and one to play the role as the spurious Messiah. Okay? And do you know something? I got some sad news for you. A lot of people are going to believe him, and a lot more than you think. Okay? Some of them are going to be your best friends. Some of them are going to be your own family. And you have to make a stand, because you know better. You know who he is. And God has chosen someone that he knows has the ability to do that. Okay? Verse 20. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. Understand the word flesh. I mean, it'd be more than flesh could hardly stand with supernatural acts. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he did what? He hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. He always lets us make it through, okay? Always. And then, if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. As long as you're in the flesh, you know Christ is not coming to this earth. Christ comes to this earth at the seventh trump, and that's when we're changed instantly into spiritual bodies, okay? 22. For false Christ and false prophet shall rise, not maybe, not perhaps, but shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce. This is the word we came here for. Your trial to be seduced, if it were possible, even the elect. Do you think that's possible? I don't. I do not believe there's a way in this world that Satan can seduce one of God's elect. Why? Because we know him. If something is tempting, what has it got to be? It's got to be at least palatable to you, or you don't consider it to be tempting, right? You consider it, rather, as far as Satan is concerned, to be an abomination. You can't stand it. And you will. You stood against it in the first earth age, and you will stand against it again. So there is, in my mind, it is not possible, but I do want you to know that Satan is slick. He's smart. He's wise. He's street smart, big time. He also can quote this Bible. He just has one real bad habit, though. You might say, well, prove that. Well, that's real easy. Matthew chapter 4 and Mark 4. How did he tempt Christ? With Scripture, with the Bible. But he always twists it just a little bit to make it a lie. Okay? So one more verse, 23. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. Well, when did Jesus foretell us all things? Well, what's Jesus? He's also the living Word. And the living Word foretells us all things. You got nothing to be shook up about. There should be no surprises in your life. You must be have the ability to recognize events as they transpire. Even as now, you are watching old Ur and old Baghdad and old Babylon, with heavy armies all around are approaching. And boy, if you don't have a type of Satan, an evil one, then you don't have your eyes open. So many types going on right now. Stay tuned. By Passover, you're going to see some stuff flying, all right? Now, so you're going to be tempted, but don't consider it as punishment from God. You would be so far off base. Why did God let that happen? He didn't. We allow ourselves to get in places we should not be. But you know something? God has you there for a purpose. He gives you gifts to handle any situation. Handle it. And consider it joy in serving Him. Don't get all panicked. Handle it. And do it graciously. All right? Now, let's go to 14 in another place here. Mark 14. We're going to pick it up in verse 37 and take it a whirl here or two. Mark 14, verse 37. This is why I want you to be sure that you're not tempted. This is why I want you to be sure that you're your own watch, because you're a watchman. And we are at that time of His coming, practically. He left the three of them there to watch as He went into Gethsemane to pray. Verse 37, Mark 14. And He cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? We have an hour of temptation coming, beloved, and this is a warning written to you. The body's weak, and it gets tired. But spiritually, you stay sharp. Okay, 38, watch ye and pray lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Gets tired, plays out, gets hungry, has many needs. Don't let your spirit soul go to sleep when you're on watch. It's a very important time. And it's real easy to be tempted by things of the world to draw your attention away from what is transpiring with our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, He went and prayed, and when he returned, He found them asleep again. For their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer Him. They didn't know what to say. I mean, here they just dropped off. They tooled off because it's probably for our benefit. And He cometh the third time and said unto them, sleep on now, take your rest, it is enough, the hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up and let us go. You're not going to do that. You're not going to go to sleep on watch. You're not going to allow anyone to betray Him again in your presence. You're going to stand up. You're going to make a difference. You're going to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you, regardless of what kind of temptation is brought or thrown at your feet. Well, I'm not sure I'm good enough for that. It's not you talking. It's the Holy Spirit speaking, and He's good enough, all right? His reputation will carry him. He knows you're not perfect, but do you have courage? Do you have faith? Do you love him? Then stand. Okay. Stand. Another place that he told us of temptation before the end time wasn't only Mark 13, but it's the great book of Revelation. The great book of Revelation in two chapters that you're all, I wouldn't even have to turn there. I could quote them and you would be familiar with them, where temptation and trial, and it should be interesting to you because we're talking about your trial. Okay? Revelation chapter 2. This, of course, is to the church of Smyrna. And you are told very clearly, so don't let it be a surprise to you, you're going to have trial. Let's start with 9 and we'll complete with 10. I know thy works and tribulation, speaking to those in this church, and poverty, but thou art rich. You better believe it. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan, speaking of the Kenites. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer, and don't try to blame God for it. Okay? Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried. That's the purpose. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Hey, you can cut it, friend, for 10 days, knowing God is with you. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. There again is that crown of life that you earn. Who is death? It's Satan. So you make certain that you stand against death, which is to say the devil, and you allow the Holy Spirit to lay it on him. Skip on to chapter 3 in this same book. Did that say you might be able to get away with it? No, Jesus told you very clearly, you're going to be tried. No ifs, ands, or buts. You're going to be tried. You're going to have tribulation. And some people could even call it suffering. Don't you? Don't you let me hear you call it suffering. Verse 10. Again, we're in the church of Philadelphia, knowing those that claim to be of our brother Judah and are lying, but are the synagogue of Satan, the Kenites, in verse 9. Then pick it up in verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. How many are tempted on this earth? All. The whole earth is going to be tempted. I'm going to see that you make it past that. You see, every time there is a point that we must muster courage, there is a promise from God that you'll have it if you'll search it out, if you'll look for it. He will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. Well, it sounds to me like that's pretty tough sledding that's being tried, just being delivered up. And consider it joy. What a chance to witness for Jesus Christ, okay? What an opportunity. You know, while you're doing that and the Holy Spirit speaks through you, don't you think that the non-believers, when they look up there and see you, and they think, how could words like this be coming from that? then they're going to be impressed. Right? We're all going to be proud of you, okay? But anyway, that's joy. How many people do you think you'll pull out of the woodwork that by your courage that would go to hell otherwise? I'm telling you what, it would scare you if you knew how many. Okay? We're in a work that is of Almighty God. And so don't let him see you afraid. And certainly don't call it suffering on his part. Call it a blessing. Now, we're going to go to turn ahead here just to the book of Peter. Okay, first, we're going to take 1 Peter here. God is never going to ask you to do something he has not already done himself. And he's never going to ask you something that he will not be with you. And he will always show you a way. 1 Peter chapter 4. And let's pick it up with the 12th verse concerning temptation and judgment. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. It's not strange. If you're standing for God and Satan's ruling the world, there's going to be trial, okay? 13. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. You share in it. How better could it be, my dear friend, to know? Yes, Christ suffered. He suffered for us in our place. So you don't have to suffer. You just get it done. Okay? I mean, get it done. Now turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to pick it up with verse 9. And these three verses will complete this lecture. God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Listen very carefully. Verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Did you hear that? God knows how to deliver you out of temptations. Especially with Satan, because I'm going to document that here in just a moment. He knows. And so, what have you got to worry about? That'd be my question. Do you think if God knows a way to deliver you out of temptation, he's going to allow you to sink in it? Do you love him? Well, he loves you. How could you accuse him of that? You show the courage, and he'll do the delivering, for he is the Savior. Okay? Verse 10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. This is somebody that really doesn't care about God's word, okay? They're going to give you trouble. Should you worry about it? Of course not. Don't waste your time. Verse 11. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not lolling accusations against them before the Lord. This is to say, not even the angels argue with Satan, so don't you start. Okay? God knows how to deliver you, but you don't start picking arguments with Satan. The angels don't even do it. Okay? I'm going to guarantee you, though you have power over Satan, he's got a lot, he's supernatural. And he knows a lot more than you do. Unfortunately, you only have memory from, I don't know how old were you when you started being able to remember, 6? 10? Some of us it was 20. Okay, so don't feel bad. But whatever, okay? But he's been around a long, long time. So don't argue with him. You'll lose, okay? You will lose if you're not careful. In the first place, it's the greatest waste of time. What could you prove arguing with Satan? There would be about 20%, maybe even more. Sometimes I underestimate. About 20% would say, well, maybe I could save him. he's already condemned by God to die. How could you possibly save him? You couldn't. Okay? It's already written and it's sealed. So, but this is why you know God's word. You hang to it. Don't ever be one of those that calls God's judgment down on those that are tempted. And because God's not going to send temptation. Okay? He's just not going to do it. If I were to close this, and I'm not going to turn there, it would be with 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, where it says, hey, there is nothing going to happen to you that isn't common with everybody. It happens to everybody, sooner or later. But God will never place more on you than you're able to bear, and that he will always show you a way out. You can believe that, my friend. Why? Don't you know he loves you? He really, really loves you. And you're his child. And when you're obedient to him, it makes his day. And furthermore, he knows he can leave you on watch and know he's not going to come back and find you asleep. You're going to be watching. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the word. We thank you, Father, for your very blessings and your watchful eye over your children, for we certainly need that at this time. Strengthen each and every one of these souls and let them be a blessing to all they come in contact with. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
I'm kind of going to do you like I did the lady that asked about the divorce a little bit earlier. Wait until the 15th chapter. It is really drilled in there that we have two bodies. Okay, you got to know that. We have two bodies. We have this flesh body and we have a spiritual body. But we still have the same spirit and soul regardless of which body we're in. Okay? But it will come clear for you. We're so close to the 15th chapter. Just wait till then. It'll be beautiful for you. Don from Maine. Could this thing of the U.S. making a stand against the U.N. be a wound? No. It couldn't. It's going to wound, all right. It'll probably it should destroy the United Nations. Okay? Because here, in 1990 and 91, they gave a very strong command to Saddam Hussein that he would do and would accomplish total, complete disarmament. And what have they done? All the nations in the world, soft peddling, going around, letting that crook talk them out of doing anything that is right, encouraging wickedness in the world, while the United Nations talk, yachity, yachity, yachity. You got to, sooner or later, if you got a rotten potato in the barrel, if you don't get it out, the whole barrel's going bad, so somebody, has got to go in, take the bad potato, and get rid of it. Okay? So it's definitely not the deadly wound, okay? But I understand where you're coming from. We could certainly consider it a type. Harold from Oregon. You said the ships of Chittim were bruisers. How did you come to this conclusion? Because the word Chittim, when you say Chittim in the Hebrew tongue, you're saying bruisers, okay? It's I don't know how else to explain it. That's what the word means when it is fully translated rather than transliterated. You can check that out in let me think real quickly. Wilda Strong's give that to you. If you will look when you break Chittim back into the Hebrew dictionary, look at the word preceding and following and catch the correct spelling, the same spelling, and it will tell you there. Or if you have a Smith's Bible Dictionary, I'm sure it will. I hope I'm right, okay? Jack, I'm sure I am, okay? That's what the word means, bruisers. Jack from California, since we are a New Testament church in the very last days, shouldn't we as pastors and teachers concentrate our teaching on Jesus Christ and the New Testament? Why would you not want all of God's Word? The main prophecies are in the Old Testament. As pastors and teachers, one would be a sorry pastor and teacher if they totally avoided the Old Testament. I think you've learned that in today's teachings from Paul, how often he refers back to it. If you didn't go back and find out what Paul was talking about in completeness, you would miss part of the great beauty of God's Word. You're kind of like one of these guys that buys a new pair of shoes and throws one of them away. That's how foolish that would be. And I'm not criticizing you. I'm telling you it takes the whole Word of God. I'm out of time. Hey, I love y'all a bunch. Do you know why? Because you enjoy studying our Father's Word in more depth. But most important, God loves it. It makes His day when you do study His Word to that depth. It just makes His day. And do you know what that's going to cause Him to do? To love and bless you. All right? Don't forget that. Brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, help us keep coming to you. Most important this, you stay in His Word. Every day in His Word is a good day, even with trouble. Know why? Jesus is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you. Samuel, the last two judges of Israel, sinned against the Lord greatly. The people of Israel witnessed the